So we were just present at an initiation ceremony, Diksha Anusthanam. Everyone is feeling happy, satisfied after being present. Generally, or always, we feel very happy at an initiation ceremony. Please don't place on the ground this book, or anywhere near the ground. Why, what is that happiness? What happiness is there in chanting some mantras which most of us probably don't understand the meaning of, and throwing rice or other grains in a fire and walking round the fire and singing? To our non-devotee friends, they will think that this is a meaningless ritual. Who has heard this said that religion is just meaningless rituals? No one ever heard that before. I heard it a lot. Many times people say that. I don't believe in all these meaningless rituals. But actually, this is the only thing with meaning. Everything else is meaningless. Meaning, one term for that in Sanskrit, or rather, meaning is a translation of the original language, Sanskrit term, artha. Artha means meaning. So the opposite of meaning or meaningless is anartha. So artha also means something which is of value. So that which is meaningless is also of no value. Anartha is a specific term used in Gaudiya Vaishnava theology to mean something that is not only meaningless, but that is upper swartha. Artha means value, swart. We all know this term. You all know this term, right? Swart. Swart means something for one's own self-interest. And upper swart means that is opposed to our own self-interest. So anartha means not only meaningless, but something that is opposed to our real self-interest. Nate vidu swartha gatin hi vishnum. What's going on over there is not as important as what's going on here. So please listen to what's being said and don't get distracted. Anartha means that which blocks bhakti. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya. These are anarthas. Lust, greed, envy, etc. The whole material world is an anartha. Dubai is an anartha. The hope of happiness in this material world is an anartha. So, Gaudiya Vaishnava theology teaches us anartha nivritti, to become free from anarthas. Only then is there the possibility of artha pravritti, of gaining what is our real goal, nate vidu swartha gatin hi vishnu. Our real goal is to attain the service of Lord Vishnu. But to be free from anarthas and then enter into artha, swart, actual swart. Swart means selfishness. Swartha Vilasha. But real swart, a real swart is to become selfless in the service of Krishna. Now to achieve this anartha nivritti, to become free of all the unwanted things, there is a procedure. Ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha tato ata bhajana kriya tato narata nivritti syat tato nishtha ruchis tata anasaktish tato bhava tato premya bhitanchati sadha kanam ayam prena pradur bhave bhavet krama. These are the stages in development of prem, love of Krishna, in which the first is to have some faith in Krishna consciousness. Shadhavanjan hoy bhakti adhikari. The qualification for taking up bhakti is to have faith. And shadhavanjan hoy bhakti adhikari uttam madhyam kanishta shraddha anusar. And one is classified as a topmost devotee, intermediate devotee, or kanishta means not really a devotee at all, but something like a devotee. Bhakta prime is called, almost a devotee, according to one's level of faith. So both Uttam and Madhyam Adhikari have firm faith in Krishna, therefore they are real devotees. Uttam Adhikari's faith is more solidified. How are you going to translate that in Hindi? By direct experience. Pratyakshavagamam dharmyam susukam kartamagyayam. Whereas the kanishta adhikari, he's doing bhakti, he has the right to do bhakti, adhika for bhakti, but jaha komal shraddha she kanishta jan, whose faith is not very strong, they're called kanishta adhikari. But he also has hope that krame krame teho hoibe bhakta uttam. But gradually, by following the process of Krishna consciousness, he can also come to the topmost level. So the first stage is faith, and in the beginning faith may not be, is not expected to be very strong. But the beginning of Krishna consciousness is to have enough faith to start associating with devotees. Sadhu Sangha. And Sadhu Sangha in the beginning may be somewhat almost like social, but gradually by associating with devotees, and in associating with devotees, the functions are there of hearing. In the beginning one will hear. Serving is also essential, but in the beginning one is so much neophyte that he doesn't understand the purpose of serving. So hearing. Or it may come round the other way. In Indian culture, the service to sadhus may come first and then hearing. Whereas in the Western world, when people come to Krishna consciousness, first they start to hear and then they start to serve. Usually this is the order. Because in Indian culture or Vedic culture, that is inculcated, that means drilled in, that is taught to serve sadhus. So that is very good culture. The people are trained to serve and respect sadhus. And the good result of that will be if one meets an actual sadhu. However, if one meets a pretender who likes to accept service and in this way cheat others, then one will be cheated. So that tendency to serve sadhus, that must be accompanied by discriminatory hearing. One should hear. People like to serve sadhus and get an ashirvad. But really one should hear, one should learn to hear. That's also there in Vedic culture, that one should hear from sadhus. But mostly people, they approach for some material gain. As Prabhupada used to say, one should not approach a sadhu for that which is available in the marketplace. You want money? Go and work. Get some money. You want good health? Go to the doctor or go to the gym or whatever. You have to pay for that also. But one should approach a guru to attain that which is not available in the marketplace. Tasmad gurum prapadyeta jignyasu shreya uttamam. One should inquire about one's topmost benefit. Not, you want to, how can I get more money? You'll say, well, go to Dubai, go to the marketplace. Don't come to me. It's not. Sadhu means he's left all these things. So he himself has left all these things for the sake of Shreya Uttamam, the topmost benefit, or the actual benefit. Generally we have these two terms, Praya and Shreya. Everyone in this material world is Priyapanti. They're on the path of what is my happiness? How can I achieve happiness? But more intelligence is Shreyapanti, one who goes on the seeking for that which is of ultimate benefit. And one who's actually knows what is the Shreyapanta, or the path of ultimate good, he knows that prayas and shreyas, they're the same. There's no difference. Those who don't understand this, they are karmis and gyanis and yogis. Karmis, they act, what is my immediate benefit? And gyanis, they see, what is the use of this sense gratification? Karmis see, for my sense gratification, what shall I get? And gyanis see, this sense gratification is all useless, I'll do some tapasya. So they take up the path of Shreyas, without knowing what they're actual, that they're still on the platform of Nate Vidu Swartagating Hivishan. They don't know what they're actual, gyanis and yogis. But devotees, they know that what is for our ultimate good is also for our present good. There's no difference. Because by serving Krishna, that is blissful now and blissful forever. So there's no division for the devotees between prayas and shreyas, it's all the same. Because our only benefit, there is no benefit other than serving Krishna. This they know. So therefore, they take up Krishna consciousness fully. Knowing that everything else is an anartha. Of course, in the beginning stages of Krishna consciousness, we tend to think of what is my spiritual life and what is my material life and make a division. But for one who is actually in Krishna consciousness, there is no material life. That's why for a devotee, even the activities of bodily maintenance, they're also fully spiritual. A devotee doesn't have any material activities. Devotee is also brushing his teeth, taking bath, maybe doing some exercise, doing a job, working, making some money. These are all material activities. But for one who is surrendered his life to Krishna, these are not material activities, because he does everything for the pleasure of Krishna. Krishnarte akhila cheshtitam. He doesn't do anything for his own sense gratification. So everything a devotee does is spiritual. Of course, he doesn't take this on the with the misunderstanding of manava seva is madhava seva. Not like that. He doesn't think I'll simply work and this is all service to Hari. But whatever apparently material or social duties he has to do, he does in a spirit of service to Krishna, and he minimizes those activities which are connected with his body and gives maximum time for hearing and chanting about Krishna, which are the primary activities of devotional service. So in this way, a devotee is always engaged in fully spiritual activities. Whereas a non-devotee, non-devotee is engaged in material activities, but sometimes a non-devotee may do religious activities also. Going to the temple and praying to the God for the material benefits which he hopes to gain. This is not spiritual. His religious activities are also material because his aim is how to enjoy separately from Krishna. So, by sadhu sangha, one comes to learn of these things. By associating with sadhus, one can feel apathy from this material world. That is the actual result of associating with sadhus, not ashivad. Sadhu is ashivad machine, not like that. It's like this machine, you put some money in and you press the button and the Coca-Cola comes out. So sadhu, you touch the feet and ashivad comes out, like that. So sadhu is not an ashivad machine. Yet actually for giving ashivad, but the real ashivad is not, the real ashish is not, or blessing is not material progress. Rather, that is anartha. That is unwanted. So-called sadhus who give blessings for material benefit, they are cheaters. They are Ravana dressed as a sadhu. Ravana also dressed as a sadhu. But he didn't want to serve Lord Ram. He wanted to extract some pleasure by cheating Lord Ram. So we should know, by associating with sadhus, we should come to know what is our actual self-interest. And by coming to understand that, it means hearing. We should hear, not simply. Sadhu means touch the feet, feed, give some donation. All these things are there, but main thing we should hear. Serve, yes, and hear. In Indian cultures, service comes first. Mostly the service to sadhus, people come because some material motive. But then by hearing from sadhus, we should come to understand actually why we have to serve them. Whereas I'm saying in the Western countries that idea of serving sadhus, they don't have any such idea. They consider, why should you serve any? One devotee was telling me, sannyasi, he was at the Sunday feast program at one of our temples in Australia, and one devotee was serving him. And that means that all the public is there also, new guests, and one devotee was serving him. He was saying, here, bring some more of this, he was saying. And one of the guests said, what is this? How can you tell him what to do like this? It's not right. In Western culture, it's considered wrong to serve others. It's how can you demand someone? You tell, serve, do this, do that. That you, everyone should just do for themselves everything. They won't even dream of serving their parents. They'll serve a dog. Plastic bag. They'll go on the street with their dog, and as soon as the dog poops, they're there, ready to pick it up in a plastic bag. So they'll serve dog stool, but sadhu, why should we serve the sadhu? This is called a case of misplaced values. So, by hearing, in the Western countries, if they begin to hear, then they can begin to understand the value of service. And in India, generally, that good culture is there to serve sadhus. And if we're fortunate enough to come in contact with a genuine sadhu, then by hearing from him, we will understand how to serve in such a manner and who to serve, so that we can become free from those anarthas which prior to association with sadhus we thought was artha. We thought that getting money, house, car and all these things, this was our desired object. But by association with sadhus we should come to understand that these things are of no value whatsoever. So then we should hear, what should we hear? What is the purpose of life and how to achieve it? The purpose of life is to revive our dormant Krishna consciousness. And how to achieve it? That is by the process of bhajan. Bhajare bhajare man atimanda. Bhaja braja bane radha krishna charanaravinda. We have to perform bhajan. Bhajan bina gati naire. Without bhajan, there is no hope of achieving anything worthwhile. The only thing worthwhile worth achieving is Govinda gati, the lotus feet of Govinda Dev. So, bhaja man, a mind that should be brought to the service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Krishna in Vrindavan. So in the beginning with bhajana kriya, the activities of bhajan, actual bhajan, that cannot be executed unless the mind is pure, but at least we can do bhajana kriya, activities that will help to purify the mind, to free them from anarthas, unwanted things. So in bhajan, bhajana kriya, the activities of devotional service which lead us towards, or which effect purification, followed by which there is purification of the heart, is followed by steadiness, or beginning of taste, nishtha, or firmness in devotional service. Then, from that, then develops genuine taste and attachment to serving Krishna. Having, when we give up our material attachments, then attachment to Krishna arises. Then, ecstasy of love of Krishna begins, and eventually one is placed in pure love of Krishna. So all this comes about by bhajana kriya, the activities of devotional service. Not, you say all this, we have to understand the factor that makes it work is mercy, blessings. Not the dhanam dehi, yasham dehi, manorama bharya dehi. Not this kind of blessing. But the Krishna she toma, Krishna dete paro, tomara shakati ache. This blessing. From the Vaishnavas to obtain Krishna. So that is the vital factor. Just a mundane example. In a car, there are so many different components, the wheels, the axle, engine, carburetor, everything based on the chassis. But unless there's petrol, it doesn't work. You say this moves this, and this moves that, and this works like that, but unless there's petrol, it doesn't work. So like that, we have bhajana kriya, we have all the activities, but without kripa, it doesn't work. We don't go anywhere. We don't move. So everything is there. Everything is required. The car should be in good order, but pit rule, as they say in India, is required. So the mercy of the Lord is required. Of course, mercy is required even to come to this stage of taking up devotional service. At every stage, it is required. And we can only go forward and be prevented from sliding back if we, by getting the mercy of the Lord, which is manifested through His devotees. So bhajana kriya, these are the activities by which we enter into devotional service. And the 64 basic activities or prominent activities or categories of devotional activities, bhaktyanga, they are listed by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which he gives at the very beginning, Ado Gurvashraya. First of all, one has to take shelter of Guru. Krishna Dikshanu Shikshanam. One should take initiation in Krishna mantra and further instruction. Vishrambhena Guru Seva, with affection and reverence serving the Guru. These are the first four of the bhaktiyangas. So one should be Krishna mantra dikshit. What is that Krishna mantra? What is it? Well, Maha mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. Is Maha mantra. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself has stated that for chanting Krishna Nam, there's no need of diksha. Diksha purascharja vidhi opeka nakar is not required. Jiva sparseyo achandale. What is that? Premaswur, I can't remember. Anyway, it said that even those from the stand of Chandal, who Chandal means not fit for diksha. So even such a person, just by chanting the holy names, can achieve the highest perfection of Krishna prayer. The diksha is not required for Mahamantra. So, what was going on just now? That question came this morning in the ladies' satsang. Is acceptance of a guru necessary? Yes. Is it necessary to take diksha? Yes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, for chanting Mahamantra, not necessary. So, what mantra was this? Which mantra was the initiation for? And why was it necessary? That Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur described that initiation is into the mantra by which chanting Hare Krishna mantra works. Because we may see many persons chant Hare Krishna, even at certain Baba's satsangs, who are not devotees, they're offenders. They also chant Hare Krishna. Many Mayavadis, who Chaitanya Mahaprabhu certified as aparadhi offenders, they also chant Hare Krishna. But they do not get the result of Krishna prema, because they're aparadhi. Just now we heard about the 10 offenses against the holy names which are to be avoided, because bahu janma kare jadi shravan kirtan kabutan na pai Krishna pade prema dhan. If one is infested with the 10 offenses against the holy name, then even if one chants for many lifetimes, he will not get the result of chanting, which is love of Krishna. So, what to do? How to chant? What is required to chant in a manner that Krishna prema manifests within the heart? What's the secret that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also told? That Harshe Prabhu Kahe Shuno Sharup Ram Rai Ki Bhabe Nama Loyale Prima Upaja. So smilingly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to his two most intimate associates, Surup Damodara and Rai Ramananda, just listen, I will now tell you the manner by which chanting Hare Krishna will lead to the awakening of love of Krishna. And this is the mantra into which devotees are initiated. Trinada pisuni chena, tarora pisahishnuna, amanina nanadena kirtaniya sadhari. This is the secret. Without which chanting Hare Krishna is not really chanting Hare Krishna at all. Because chanting Hare Krishna means, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. But if we don't have a humble attitude, then our chanting Hare Krishna will be, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage in my service. And by such chanting, that will not be conveyed to Radha and Krishna. Radha and Krishna are simply enjoying. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He is the object of love for every living being. And the devotees, headed by Srimati Radharani, they are the receptacles of Krishna's love. So in Radha Krishna, there is no mundane sense gratification. We cannot disturb their lila. It is not possible We are not powerful enough to disturb their happiness of loving each other by trying to impinge on them with our ridiculous desires that they serve us. Everyone in this material world is wanting that I shall be served. So if we chant with that attitude, that will not be conveyed to Radha and Krishna. That sound will not go through the covering of the material world and reach to Radha and Krishna. Because Durga, difficult to go, her name means difficult to go, so difficult to get past her. She will not allow us to go past her and onto the realm of bhakti unless we achieve the qualification. As long as we are trying to dominate the insane desire to dominate material nature, and we bring this insanity even into our so-called spiritual life, in which we also try to dominate God and use Him as a tool for our sense gratification. That's why chanting of Hare Krishna without the association of devotees is not actually chanting at all. It's just another phase of Maya. So one has to be initiated into the understanding. Divyam jnanam yato dadyat kuryat papasya sankshayam tato diksha vidhanena. What is that? Atra kovidai. Tato diksham iti proktam. So diksha means receiving transcendental knowledge by which one's sinful life is destroyed. There's no transcendental activity in chanting Hare Krishna for material benefit, or even with the desire to get free from this material world, but freedom without, so-called freedom without serving Krishna. Deshikas tapa kovidai, that's the verse. So one has to hear from devotees what is our actual position, what is our actual artha, to understand that Krishna is the object of service and we are servants. And in a mood of humility, tolerance, trinada pisunichina, considering oneself less than the grass, being more tolerant than a tree, offering respect to others, not desiring respect for oneself. With this attitude, one should chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Then that is actual chanting. Without cultivating this humility. Humility doesn't mean this show of humility. But humility means actual consciousness of myself as being most insignificant. Without this, we cannot be devotees, actually. When we understand that I have no qualification to serve Krishna except Krishna's kindness upon me, that He allows me, that kindness is transmitted through His devotees, then we can appreciate devotees. When we realize our own insignificance, then we can appreciate devotees, that they are so great in their service to Krishna and so great that they try to bestow upon me also, who am most abominable. So how great are the devotees? With this appreciation, one can achieve their blessings and go forward in devotional service. So the meaning of initiation is to stop thinking of oneself, I am very great. To stop this endeavor of Ishvaraham aham bhogi siddho aham balavan sukhi. To stop the farcical endeavor to convert oneself into a god or a controller, and accept that I am to be controlled by Krishna. To stop the wicked endeavor to enjoy this material world, and to understand that I am only meant to be enjoyed by Krishna. This is the purpose for which initiation is taken, to accept the training in which, by which, we can advance in devotional service, we can get free from anarthas. So one has to be ready to accept that training, otherwise there's no meaning to taking initiation. One has to take the training, and in the beginning, much of the training is focused on anartha nivritti, because that's bhajana kriya that leads to anartha nivritti. And as long as we are not free from anarthas, then where is the question of becoming Krishna conscious? Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, madadi, abhishta, eshab nat chere, kise pabe radha Krishna. As long as we are absorbed in lust, greed, anger and the rest, then where is the question of attaining to the service of Radha and Krishna, which is, if we say pure, that doesn't really convey. There's no real words to convey. But it's Radha Krishna Leela is so far from, absolutely devoid of, with no question of any mundane lust, greed, anger, any such thing. So if we have any trace of lust, greed, anger and all these things, then we cannot enter there. We cannot come close to entering the service of Radha and Krishna. So training is there to develop our attraction for the service of the servants of Radha and Krishna. But we also have to take the training simultaneously. How to be free from the anarthas that block our, we're not talking about blocking our service of Radha and Krishna, but because we're a long way from that, but blocking even our desire to attain that service. These are anarthas. So in practical terms, that means we have something to do. Something to do and some things not to do. Vidhi nishet. We have to do something. It's not simply by dreaming or pretending that we can attain Krishna consciousness. A poor man might, at night he lies down under his torn up bed sheets, and he might imagine that he's become a very rich man. And in the morning he may think, well, what's the use of getting up? Because, you know, there's nothing to eat in the house. I might as well just lie under here. But by lying, at least I can imagine that I'm a rich man. But simply by imagining, that won't help him. If he gets up and does some work, then he can earn something and get something to eat. And maybe one day he can be rich. But just by imagining, there's no possibility. So we have to do something. That is called Krishna Anushilanam. We have to cultivate Krishna consciousness, sadhana bhakti. So there are things to be done and things not to be done. And that we have to take training. For that it is required to be very serious. Just like in the army, there are so many do's and do nots. People follow, in the army you follow, because if you don't, you'll get punished. Even a little bit wrong. Anyone served in the army here? You have any ex-army men? No? Alright. So you do a little bit wrong, and severe punishment. So they do, out of fear. So we should understand also that if we deviate a little bit in Krishna consciousness, we should have the fear, my bhakti will be spoiled. Sometimes we see that devotees, they're very careful about how they behave when they're in the presence of their guru. And when he goes away, relax. They're afraid. We don't want to show ourselves to be a nonsense in the presence of Guru. But that's not the reason that one should behave properly in devotional service. The Guru will chastise if you do something wrong, but that's his mercy because he wants you to be better. But we should know that the rules and regulations of devotional service are not, it's not something to be followed just like because we're in the army or something like that. But because by following, we'll get the benefit of becoming Krishna conscious. And by not following, we will lose that opportunity. So who is the loser if we don't follow? Now sometimes there is a misunderstanding that, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's path is very easy, very blissful. So if I do a little bit wrong sometimes, then it doesn't really matter. Because God is very merciful. Will He not forgive us for a little thing? Of course He can forgive, but the little things are what show that we actually love Krishna, or we want to develop our love for Krishna. Just like, to give a mundane example, a man may give his wife a gold ring, she'll be happy. But if the little thing, he doesn't bother. She asks him, please throw away your razor blades after shaving. No, they don't use razor blades. Anyway, I'm trying to think of an example. Because otherwise the children may take them. And again he doesn't. He can't be bothered. Oh, you do it. So little things, he doesn't notice. So. Then she won't be very happy. It's often said that the little things, that's what makes the relationship sweet. So I'm told. Is it right? We have sweet relationships at home. The little things And sometimes it's the little things that cause so much dissatisfaction. Someone doesn't understand, why is my wife so upset with me? Or why is my husband so upset? Some little thing, because we said something the wrong way, sarcastically or something. And you say, oh, why are they doing like that? Why trying to give me? Why can't they? She knows I like it like this, so why don't she could do it, but why not? Means doesn't love me. So Krishna also sees that these rules are there. These rules are meant for getting love of me. You don't follow me, you don't want to love me. And Krishna's unhappy. That, oh, I sent my devotee, showed the path. Now he came to the path, but now he doesn't want to follow. This is a very surprising thing. That we see actually many people who take to Krishna consciousness and they take initiation, which means you have to be serious to take initiation. You have to, at least for some time, you have to be following rules and regulations which most people don't like to follow. All these rules. You have to follow all these. So you have to be somewhat serious to get initiation. Then we see many people after taking initiation, after some time they say, well, I've done enough bhakti for this life. And that's it. Very strange. That means they didn't get the proper sanskar. For the children, there's the karna bhed sanskar, in which the ear is pierced. So there's a spiritual karna bhed sanskar also, in which the sound of the guru will enter and will blast a hole right through to the heart, to smash all the misconceptions. Bhidyate, or they go right to the heart. Bhidyate, hridya granthihi, chidyante, sarva sanshayaha. One has to. That means that the hard knot of material attachment in the heart is broken, and the doubts are slashed to pieces. How does this happen? By hearing. Hearing again and again. Regularly. Constantly. Hearing. So that the misconceptions, doubts, misgivings, attachments can be broken. So we are on the path. We have now come to the path of Krishna consciousness. But to remain on the path, we have to keep following the procedures. Just like get a driving license, you get a little preliminary training, and get a driving license. So you may decide to drive from here to Abu Dhabi. But all along, one has to bear in mind what are the traffic rules, what are the requirements before starting the journey. You should check, is there water in the radiator cooling? They still do that, it's a long time since. You have to put water in, right? To cool it down. I thought maybe they have. Huh?
They have coolant.
Yeah, but you don't put water anymore? No, yeah, I thought I might be out of date. It's more than 20 years since I drove. I'm a privileged person. Anyway, you have to put petrol in, or petrol as we say in English. The car has to be serviced regularly. You have to have your license, it has to be displayed. All these things. And while driving, you have to observe the traffic rules. You have to drive on the right side of the road. One has to be attentive all the time. So similarly in devotional service, diksha means a license to begin. But it's not that, okay, that's it, finished. No. Now we have to go. Now we have to start. Now we have the license to drive. Now we have to drive according to the proper system. Always observing the required formalities. They're not simply formalities. The activities of devotional service, we say, meaningless ritual. It's not meaningless ritual. These are activities which awaken love of Krishna, not at all meaningless rituals. We have to understand what is the... We may not understand the meaning. It may seem like putting on tilak and accepting only Krishna prasadam. So many rules are there. We may think that these are meaningless formalities. If we think they are meaningless, that's just because we don't know what the meaning is. But they're all meaningful. Artha means meaning. So unless we know what the meaning of these activities are, then we may consider artha as anartha, unnecessary. And then we don't follow. So diksha means to be initiated into our real artha, into our real meaning of life. We have to hear regularly so that we are not covered by the illusion of mistaking artha for anartha and anartha for artha. And we have to act according to that understanding with, along with cultivating the mood of utter humility and helplessness in devotional service. Humility, helplessness. Ekaki amar nahi paibo harinama shankirtan. Tumi kripa kari shadha bindu diya deho krishna nam dhane. That by ourselves, we don't have the ability to chant the names of Krishna. But if we are blessed by the Vaishnavas with actual faith in Krishna Nam Sankirtan, then they will give us the adhika, the eligibility to chant the holy names of Krishna. So we're on a great journey. We all have to help each other. We're all very weak, but by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, we can progress in Krishna consciousness. To go up in Krishna consciousness, we have to go down. We have to think, not actually go down, but in material consciousness, we're always trying to make ourselves big. But those who are actually big in Krishna consciousness, those who are Mahabhagavats, they think of themselves at the bottom. Jagai madhai hoite muise papishto purise kit hoite muise logishto jay mora nam shune tar pap tar punna khoi jay mora nam loi tar papa hoy. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is undoubtedly from his writings in the category of the very topmost devotees of the Lord, states, and from this statement also we can understand his topmost position, that he considers himself more sinful than Jagai Madhai and lower than a worm in stool. He says that whoever hears my name will lose his pious activities, and whoever says my name will become sinful. So, this is an indication of Trinada, the peace of Egypt. Very easy to say. To attain that mood, we have to beg for the mercy of the devotees. Then we can actually progress in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? All right, would you like to chant Hare Krishna? No, question is coming. If one has a strong desire to take Diksha but cannot do so because of family members who are against it, how will one go about it? This will have to be tackled on an individual basis because every situation is different. We have to see what to do according to the case.
Example of Hanumanda.
Your family members, well, it's Hanuman is the younger brother of Bhaktisiddhanta, right? Younger brother or older brother? Huh?
Younger brother in terms of
his He's younger brother. Is it or what?
His younger brother.
Which way?
He's younger.
Actually, by age.
I know. That's why I was asking. Well, there was a case of family members very much against it. At the time of Bhaktisiddhanta's initiation, maybe you would have been against that also. So that was done without your family members' knowledge. Yes, sometimes we do that. It's also possible.
Today I have 40 blessings of my parents.
See, so it's possible that things can change gradually. That's the best solution. Otherwise, there may be other solutions. Yeah, we should understand that our real family is the family of Vaishnavas. So, actually, Shastra recommends that we should give up the company of family members who are non-devotees, but I personally don't like to preach that too much because in the modern day people give up their family members too easily on any excuse. And sometimes Krishna consciousness is used as an excuse to avoid family responsibilities. So please discuss this with other devotees and see how to do it. We have to pray for the mercy of Krishna. If we're sincere, we can get it. That's the question. How to get the mercy of the devotees? Catch a hold of their lotus feet and don't let go. But you have to get up to serve them. But always in this mood. By service and humility, one will attract the mercy of the devotees. What is the difference between first and second initiation? Actually, one only takes initiation once. But we say like that. Because dikka kale bhakta kare arta samapan. Actual initiation is fully dedicating ourselves to Krishna. So, have we taken initiation? Well, that we have to see ourselves. Formally we may have taken initiation, but the real initiation is full surrender to Krishna. There are stages in the Diksha process. First of all, one accepts Harinam, and then one may also accept Mantra Diksha, Brahma Gayatri and Pancharatrik Diksha mantras. These are especially offered to devotees who are to be engaged in deity worship and who are preachers. These mantras that are given are also helpful in Naam Bhajan, but main is Naam, taking Krishna Naam, which is given at what we call first initiation. Maharaj, I am number rascal number one. Whoever gave this question, you can see me privately. I don't want to read this out. I'd rather not discuss this here. Please chant Hare Krishna. Can you chant Kirtan?
Yeah.
You have any other announcements? Yeah? Okay. If you like to offer it, so I can, in my service to Prabhupada, but it's not like a, you know, how much price do you put on the service? How much was that worth? Yeah, you just have to be, don't mind me, you just have to be a little bit careful how we say things, because I know you didn't mean that, but it could convey like that.
For His Honor Bhakti Vikas Maharaj to use it in the service of Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you so much for your kindness upon me, as always.
Maharaj is most likely leaving tomorrow. Anyway, there is no sale today.
Yeah,
Maharaj,
yeah.
Would you like to say a few words?
Very auspicious, the appearance day, Amavasya. Appearance day of Srila Gadadha Pandit Prabhu. Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam. So he is Shakti. Panchatattva means the original Supreme Lord himself. Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu, who are Vishnu Tattva. Then Gadadha is Shakti Tattva. Gadadha, Swarup Damada, Ramananda Rai, Jagadananda Pandit, and Jeev Tattva, Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakti Vrinda, all the others. So Shakti means, Shakti Tattva means those personalities who are the Shakti means Shakti, Shakti Matara Bheda. They're non-different from Krishna, inseparable from him. Just as the sun and its light cannot be separated, so Krishna and his Shakti, Shaktiman and Shakti, cannot be separated. So what is that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says? I can't remember exactly the Bengali, but he says that just as we cannot